Hello, friends. Greetings in the mighty name of King Jesus. Greetings to the members of the Bear Roberts Seventh-day Adventist Church and for those who are viewing online on Facebook or on YouTube. I hope your day is going well so far. My name is Andre Hibbert, and I want to speak with you under the caption today, God's Master Plan. God's master plan. You see, planning is extremely important. They say if you fail to plan, you have planned to fail. At most places you go in the world, you need a plan if you're going to do things like construction, if you're going to put up a building or any permanent structure on a piece of land, a house or a commercial building, you need a plan. You'll have to find an architect, someone with expertise, someone who knows the business, someone who knows what they're doing, to lay down for you a solid plan. A solid plan is important for the success of the project that you're undertaking. A solid plan ensures that things go accordingly. A plan that would encapsulate all activities that will contribute to the finished product. Having a plan is one thing, but you want to be sure that you follow the plan. The structural integrity of the building depends on following the architect's plan. The outcome is dependent upon you following the plan. Today we're talking about God's master plan. When it comes to life and all that makes it up, we have to check with God's master plan. You see, friends, God is the intelligent architect of life as we know it. He stood on the corridor of nothingness, and with his mere words, he commanded everything that we know into existence. He saw that his work was good, and he proceeded to stoop down. And from the dust of the ground, he formed man and blew into him the breath of life. And glory to God, man became a living soul. And when man sinned, there was a plan. There was a plan in place to redeem the fallen race. You see, sin had now created a gap between man and God, between created and creator. But I give thanks today, beloved friends, that Jesus came to die so that you and I could live. I praise God today to know that we may once again be reunited with God, for God has a master plan for our lives. You see, one of my most favorite texts is written in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Let us pray. Our loving God and our Savior, we give you thanks to know, Lord, that you came to die on Calvary so that we may have life and have it more abundantly today. We give you thanks, Lord, for all those individuals who are tuning in to this program. And we pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will come divinely close to each of us, that you will touch us, that you will teach us, God. I pray as I speak to your people that you will take over and take complete control, Lord, and so that my face will not be seen, nor my voice heard, but Jesus Christ would be lifted up. And as you said, Lord, if your name be lifted up, that you will draw all men unto you. So pray to this end, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak with you, friends, today on three subtopics about God's plan. One, God's plan is complete. The second thing is that God's plan is in effect. And the third thing is that God's plan is eternal. It is my hope that for the next 30 minutes as we speak about these three things, that our hearts will be lifted up and opened up to God and therefore be transformed and renewed. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we find a very interesting text. God's plan is complete. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I like this version. It's a more simplified version. The NIV, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Beloved friends, I want to let you know that God's plan for your life is perfect and complete. And these two words could be used interchangeably. In Job chapter 1, verse 6, we see these words, the word complete and perfect, being used interchangeably. And that is the same idea that I want to introduce to you today, beloved friends. God's plan is complete. It lacks nothing. It is perfect. There is someone listening today who may be having a hard time understanding what is God's plan for your life. You may be going through a situation that you just cannot understand. You cannot understand why God has permitted that circumstance in your life, some situation. It could be corona related. You may have lost your job. You may have problems with your finances. You may have problems in your home, problems with your health, problems with your kids. Life is full of problems. But I'm here to let you know, beloved friends, that God cares. I'm here to let you know that despite your situation, despite the circumstance that you may be going through now, God has a plan for your situation. I love this song. This song, I know it says, "God knows about your situation. But with every test and every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He's here to touch you, heal you. He'll set you free." God can heal. He can deliver. He can mend your brokenness. He has a miracle to fit your every need. Once you trust him, you will receive. I tell you, friends, the secret to unlocking God's potential in your life is unwavering trust and unwavering faith. Friends, we can trust God because we know that his plan for our life is perfect and complete. You see, beloved friends, history tells no lie. We can look back at some very beautiful examples. God did not prevent Daniel from going into the lion's den. But when he was in the den, God had a plan for him. He did not prevent the Hebrew boys from going in the fiery furnace. But while they were in the furnace, God had a plan for them. And so God does not prevent everything bad from happening to us, or everything bad from happening in this world. But if God permits it, I can let you know today that God has a plan. You see, friends, there is a story in Genesis 37. We read about young Joseph and his brothers who planned against him. Joseph was a dreamer. And oftentimes he would tell his brothers about his dream. And these dreams that Joseph had would make his brothers hate him even more. Eventually they schemed to kill him. And his older brother said, "No, we cannot do that. Let us throw him in the cistern. And so he will stay there and die." Eventually, they sold him into slavery to get rid of him. If you read with me in Genesis 37, verse 18, the Bible says to us, "When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in a distance. As he approached them, they made plans to kill him." Verse 19, "Here comes the dreamer," they said. "Come on, let's kill him and throw him in one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what become of his dreams. Can you imagine the situation, friends? Brothers against brothers. Flesh and blood. But God had a plan. You see, the situation that Joseph is now in, God had a beautiful plan. And onlookers in the situation, Joseph himself might not have understood how his brothers could have portrayed so much hatred towards him, how they could have gone at such lengths to get rid of him, but God had a plan. The Bible tells us in Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph said to his brothers, he said, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Glory to God. When they mean you harm, when they mean you evil, when you think that all everything that could go bad is going bad, just remember that God is still in control. He has the master plan. Psalms 21 verse 11 says, "Though they intend evil against you and devise a plot, they will not succeed." Powerful message from the Bible. You see, beloved, there is just something amazing about God's plan. No matter how many have tried to thwart God's plan, the devil has tried to thwart God's plan, but no attempt to thwart God's plan has ever been successful. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah 14 verse 27, "For the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back?" Glory to God. The master plan that God has for your life, no one can thwart that plan. No one can frustrate that plan. The stretched out hand that God has in your life, no one can turn it back. Jesus is to be praised. Friends, when God is for you, no weapons that is formed, no weapons formed against you shall prosper. God's plan for your life is perfect and complete. But at times we may forget. At times we may not understand that perfect plan. But I implore you, friends, trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. Our own understanding of the ways of God is insufficient. Because who can know his ways? For his ways are higher than our ways. And so we find, beloved friends, if we forget about our own understanding, if we forget about our own idea of life, and trust completely in God, lean completely in him, he will guide and direct our every path. God's plan is in effect. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 verse 28. And I love if you read with me as I read these passages. Get your Bible and let's read the Bible together. Romans 8 verse 28. "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose for them." What does this mean? What do I mean when I say that God's plan is in effect? What I mean, beloved friends, is that in this present moment, God has a plan for you. I mean that where you are now, God had planned that you needed to be there. It means, beloved friends, that you are not where you are by mistake, but because God has planted you there. You see, some people believe in destiny. Some people believe in science. Some people believe in astronomical alignments. But as for me and my house, beloved friends, We believe in the Lord. We put our trust completely in the Lord. You see, some of us find ourselves in a community and we wonder, why has God put me here? You may just be the only witness in that community, the only person, the only Bible, the only Christian that individuals in that community or individuals on that street will ever encounter. We don't know the plan of God for where we are. You may be wondering, why did God put you in this church? Why did God give me this position? Why did God do that? Why did God do this? God has a plan for your life. He wants to use you. He has called you for his purpose to be a part of a great plan. His plan for our lives is not delayed. He's not waiting until you get things right. He's not waiting until you get out of that situation. He's not waiting until you fix it up and then come to him. You see, God is using your situation and your circumstances to build you and bring you to the place that he wants you to be. What am I talking about? You may have heard me talk about the wheel of circumstances and situations before. And what I'm talking about, friends, are the things that God allows us to go through that are used to build and refine our character. Think about the potter making his vessel of clay. And we always assert the meaning to this parable, that God is the potter and we are the clay. But we forget about the wheel that the potter turns his vessel on. This is the wheel of situation and circumstances. And we go through these situations, and as we go through it, let us remember that God, the Creator, Jesus Christ, our friend, he has his eyes and his hands on us, and he's working to get rid of the imperfections and working to get us into his image as closely as possible. The situations that we go through, the circumstances that we find ourselves in, let us remember, beloved friends, that God has a plan. His plan is in effect. Sometimes, beloved friends, you feel like things get so hot. But remember that gold has to be tried in fire. And so when it gets hot, remember that Jesus Christ is with you. Sometimes you feel so broken, but remember that Jesus Christ is with you. Give you a few examples. For 40 years, Moses tended to his father-in-law's sheep. This prepared him to lead the Israelites for 40 years. Before David faced Goliath, he faced a lion and a bear. The situations that we go through prepare us for the great plan that God has for us. Psalms 40 verse 5 tells us, "Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts towards us. There is none to compare with you. And if I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count." You see, beloved friends, many are the thoughts of God towards us. And if we were to sit and count the many blessings, if we were to sit and count the bountiful things that God has done for us, we would run out of numbers. We cannot keep up with God's blessing and giving in our lives. Think about the breath that you're breathing now. It's all made possible because of God's sustenance. God has a plan for you, beloved friends, and sometimes we're too blinded by the problems and the circumstances that we're in that we can't see God's hand at work. But let me tell you something, friends. When you accept the mindset that your understanding of the circumstances and the situation that you're going through is flawed, and lean completely on Jesus and trust completely in God, then you start to see God's hand at work in everything that you do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God. Commit all your ways to God, and he will establish all your plans. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. What a God we serve. Without even asking, he knows your every need. Your needs do not overwhelm and surprise God. God is not stressed out. He's not bothered. He's not annoyed when you take too many issues to him. As a matter of fact, he's very pleased when we put him to the test. He's elated when we exercise our arm of faith and ask for some big request. God is impressed when we present the smaller matters of life, so he has an opportunity to demonstrate that he's concerned with the seemingly insignificant things in your life. Put God to the test in the small things and in the big things. I am assuring you today that God has a plan for every situation that you go through. Hebrews 4 verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. I'm reminding you, friends, today that God knows. God knows your deepest hurt. He understands your deepest pain. But his invitation to you, his invitation to all of us, is to come, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and he will give us rest. Psalms 55 verse 22 says, cast all your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. These are trying times, friends. These are peculiar times. Times that we have not yet seen before. But I can assure you that even in this pandemic, that God has a plan for your life. He wants to be a part of your everyday life, to carry out his plan in you. He wants you to be in good health. He wants you to enjoy life, to find delight in the things that he has created for us. God is concerned about you deeply in every aspect of your existence. God's plan, my third point, is that God's plan is eternal. My third and perhaps most important point, beloved friends, is that God's plan is eternal. Turn your Bibles with me to John 14, 1 to 3, and I will read with you another one of my most favorite scriptures. The Bible says to us, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you with me, so that you will be where I am. You see, beloved friends, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. His plan for you extends beyond this earth, this life. His plans for you are eternal. John 3 verse 16 and 17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God is in the saving business. You see, the plan of redemption laid down for you thousands of years ago is still available for you to claim it today. God's plan for your life is eternal, and you can claim that plan. You can claim the promises under that plan today. In Luke 15, Jesus tells a parable of the shepherd who has 100 sheep, but he loses one. The good shepherd would leave the 99 and go in search for that one until he finds him. Can you imagine, friends? A shepherd having 100 sheep, he would leave all that 99 and go in search for that one. And when he finds him, there is rejoicing. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. In Isaiah 53 verse 6, the Bible tells us, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. But Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, is knocking at the doors of our hearts. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, is out seeking you. Friends, I want to let you know that God is interested in saving you more than you know it. The devil will tell you and feed you all sort of lies that you are not worthy enough. You are not good enough. You are too sinful. You are not this. You are not that. You are not deserving. But I want to let you know, friends, that when the devil comes to you like that, say, listen, I know I'm not worthy. I know I'm a sinner. I know all these things that you want to tell me. But the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day will never lose its power. Beloved friends, it soothes my doubts and calms my fear. And it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day will never lose its power. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner. But Jesus and his blood can make me clean. I know that I'm not deserving. I know I was guilty. But grace stepped in. Grace and mercy stepped in. And now I stand redeemed. See, Jesus is the good shepherd, busy knocking and waiting at the portals of our heart. He desperately wants to save you. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3 verse 9 to 14, and I hope you're following with me in your Bibles. The Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, nevertheless, according to his promise, look now for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that he looked for such things, be diligent that he may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. I'm coming to a close, beloved friends. I know three things are on your lips today. That God's plan is complete and perfect. That God's plan for your life is in effect. And that God's plan is eternal. You may be saying today, Lord, I've made too many mistakes. I've deviated too far from your ideal, too far from your plan for my life. I'm just not good enough. But I want to remind you of an individual. Jonah. Jonah deviated from God's plan. God sent Jonah down to Nineveh. But Jonah had his own plan and decided to go somewhere else. But God had a plan. And in the belly of a fish, Jonah repented of his mistake. And God still used him to save many lives. You may think your mistakes have put you out of the reach of God. But I'm here to let you know that God still has a plan for you. You see, for every repentant sinner, there is a forgiven Savior. For every individual that feels that they have gone too far astray, there is a Father awaiting with open arms. For every broken person, every broken individual, there is a Redeemer and a Healer. For every sin-sick soul, there is a Redeemer and still a balm in Gilead. For every believer, there is a solid rock on which you can stand. For every weary wanderer, there is a shelter in the time of storm. For every situation, there is hope in Jesus. God's plan for you is complete. It's in effect. And God's plan is for your eternal life. I pray that your hearts have been lifted up and open to God. Please pray with me. Mighty God, we give you thanks for your grace that enables, gives us the opportunity, Lord. We ask you, Father, that as your words have been spoken, that it will reach to the darkest crevices of our hearts and penetrate our hearts, O God. May they find lodging and bear fruits of righteousness. Father, we know that you're coming back soon. And you're coming back for people who are prepared to meet you. We pray, Lord, that we will live according to your plan for our lives. The plan to redeem us once again. I pray, God, that all those in the hearing of my voice will be so blessed and so impressed to draw closer unto you as your coming draws closer. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.